You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
Thank you, Sam.
The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back.
The second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool.
Going to be hard to bring anything to you more surprising than that which occurred in the last segment of the first hour. Let's hear it one more time for Lieutenant Godfrey Dulias. And I should just say, and I certainly didn't want to bring it up and insult the man by even having to mention this, because it shouldn't have to be said at all. But if you possess no critical thinking skills whatsoever and have no better knowledge of history and the way wars are fought than to believe that, there's the political cesspool guys. I knew they were Nazis. There they are talking to somebody who flew with the Luftwaffe. Well, you need to know this guy's story. You know, there's propaganda on both sides in every war. Not everybody on the losing side in a war was bad. Not everybody on the winning side was good. This man is a good and decent human being. I've read his book. I know his story. And I'm proud of him. And I wish we had more like him. And just a fine Christian gentleman, regardless of what you think did or didn't happen in World War II, not every German soldier, especially 19-year-olds who fought in defense of their country, fought because they had to. They didn't have a hand in any, alleged atrocities, just like everybody who fought for the Confederacy didn't have a hand in, you know, tormenting slaves. It just wasn't like that. It wasn't cut and dry. And that is certainly not to say that everybody who fought for the Allies was blameless and guiltless. And everybody who fought for the North, never committed an atrocity. Look at Sherman. Look at what the Allies did in Dresden. War is hell. But that's a good man, and I'd stand by him and defend him with every fiber of my being. Winston, I don't know if you had a chance. Winston Smith with us now. I don't know, Winston, if you had a chance to hear the last segment of the first hour, but one of our loyal listeners in New York is actually at the home of Godfrey Dulias, and they called in off the cuff tonight. Do you remember the interviews with Godfrey Dulias? I'm sure that's a question that doesn't need to be answered, but back on tonight, 89 years old.
Why didn't you tell me that man was going to be on the show?
I got text messages. I got pictures of Matt the Copperhead with the LT, who Art Frith, Art Frith is a man like a couple of others on our hosting staff. Art Frith was our producer here in Memphis for a long time. He says of all the interviews we ever did, Lieutenant Dulias was his favorite. Art spent a long time in the Navy. In the United States Navy. He said that was the best interviews we ever did. It just happened, Winston. What can I say? It's live radio. You never know what's going to happen.
I remember the first interview we did with Lieutenant Dulias, James. I was in my wood shop in Cordova, and he came on, and I stopped what I was doing to listen. And I think I described it by saying that it was one of those interviews that I walked away from feeling like I wanted to be a better person. Man was so inspiring. He's such a humble man, to be so skilled, and he's not bitter at all. He understands what war is, and that's that. But I'll never forgive you for not telling me he was going to be on.
Well, I remember those interviews, too. I remember him choking up in those interviews, as you might expect, recounting those horrors. But, that is true history. That is unadulterated, unfiltered, uncensored history. When you have a guy like that on, I mean, you think of how few of them survived a Russian POW camp and how few people on the German side that survived the war and certainly still alive to this day. I mean, there's not many American veterans, for that matter, with us today. Think of how old they would be. And he's 89, and he was very young at the very end of the war when he was enlisted. And I remember him talking about what very little training that he received before they put him, against these aces from the Allied side. It was just an incredible, incredible story. And we covered his story, as I said before, of him as a POW in one interview, and then Bill Rowland, you know, a scholar of history himself. Bill Roland asked him just very in-depth and detailed questions about the kind of airplanes he flew and the equipment that he had and some of his experiences in those dogfights. And, well, I mean, well, we're talking about it 7 years later as if the interviews just occurred, you know, a few weeks ago. That's the kind of impact they left on all of us. And those interviews, by the way, are still available, ladies and gentlemen. You can listen to those tonight by going to our archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I don't even recall the month they were, but I'm 90% certain they occurred in 2007. So you'll just have to browse through there and navigate a little bit and look for Lieutenant Godfrey Dulias' name in the manifest. But interesting stuff. And Winston, I'll allow you to say this just to go on the record. For the ignorant people out there who live to defame and try to detract from our good and righteous work to say that, oh, look at who they're having on. That proves we were right about them all along. What would you say to that?
I would say we really don't have time to deal with such utter foolishness. I have a hard time processing that much stupidity from one person. They're not worth our time, and nothing we can say is going to change their minds at all, because they've just been totally brainwashed, and they are not about to change their wrong thinking. That's really all there is to it. You know, we have our friends, we have our heroes, and we have good reason that they are our friends and heroes. And I am proud to be associated with Lieutenant Godfrey Dulias, Luftwaffe ace. It was much harder to become a Luftwaffe ace than it was to become an American fighter ace. I respect the man enormously, and I imagine that if many American fighter pilots of that day got together with Lieutenant Dulias, they would have much to talk about. They would be friends and compatriots. They would have much to talk about. And if the men who fought against the likes of Godfrey Dulias can find it within themselves to embrace him for the noble man that he is, then and if the people who if there are people who cannot see that, then there's nothing we can do for them except let them go on their merry way in their total ignorance and in their bigotry.
Very well said, Winston. There's nothing more I can add to that. And again, I hate to waste 2 or 3 minutes of airtime even putting that out there, but we want to be clear and we want to be forthright. But all the respect in the world is due this man, and it's certainly given from yours truly to him. And his book, Another Bowl of Kapusta, we used that some years ago as a fundraising incentive and moved quite a few copies. And I have an autographed copy of it myself. I regret. I mean, it's hard to stay in touch with everyone. And unfortunately, he was one that we'd lost touch with for a couple of years. But I'm just so happy to know that he's still healthy. And doing well, and you could hear in his voice a little skip in his step, it would appear, even at the age of 89. And so, folks, check out that interview. Check out that book. It may still be available on Amazon. I know it was available on Amazon, at least for a time. It is a moving story of humanity and one man's triumph over, you know, against all odds. So check that out. We'll be back. And somehow transition from a story like that to something totally depraved here in the Political Cesspool. Stay tuned.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1,200-millimeter coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, we got to transition away from this, but it does appear that Winston has done the research and has found that Godfrey Doulias' book, Another Bowl of Kapusta, Kapusta is K-A-P-U-S-T-A, Another Bowl of Kapusta is still available at Amazon.com. The full title of the book, Another Bowl of Kapusta, The True Life Story of a World War II Luftwaffe Fighter Pilot and POW in Russia. Check it out. All right, Winston, I hate to do this, but we got to get back into our standard fare. Diversity decapitates a coworker in Oklahoma. You let me know about this story. I'll quickly read it, and I know you have told me that you want to spend the remainder of this hour covering this one single story, so we'll see how far you can run with it. But basically, the story is, folks, after being fired from his job at Vaughn Foods, Alton Nolan, who is a black Muslim man, went on a violent rampage, beheading one coworker and critically injuring another. The story from MSNBC.com reads, one woman was beheaded and another injured. Beheaded? Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, I say that in passing and almost flippantly, but do you understand what just happened here? One woman was beheaded and another injured after a 30-year-old man began attacking people at a Moore, Oklahoma food processing plant Thursday afternoon. Alton Nolan decapitated Colleen Hufford and began stabbing Tracy Johnson after being fired from the Vaughn Foods plant, police say. Company owner Mark Vaughn, a Oklahoma County Reserve deputy, shot Nolan, stopping his attack and injuring him. Both Nolan and Johnson are in stable condition. The police in Moore, Oklahoma, said that there is no evidence, and of course there wouldn't be, that this man is a domestic terrorist. However, the FBI is looking into his background, so that should make everybody feel at ease, including statements by some of his co-workers who said that Nolan had tried to convert them to Islam. So I'm not going to read the whole story here. We're going to have this posted at our website next week, but basically, just to recap, you have this black Muslim man in Oklahoma, the heartland of America. He gets fired, not for trying to convert people to Islam, but that had happened before his firing. After his firing, he goes back and he decapitates one and continues to stab another and would have kept on going had it not been a good guy there with a gun to protect everyone. So just to reiterate, a murderous rampage was stopped by a good guy with a gun. But I just can't help but laugh in pure outrage that people with Ron Paul bumper stickers are said to be prime suspects to be domestic terrorists. But this guy is, you know, initially dismissed as even possibly being a domestic terrorist, despite the fact that he's obviously a radical Muslim, despite the fact that he decapitated somebody. Well, what else can you say except that this is just another benefit of diversity that we all enjoy. If we had lived in an evil, racist, racially homogenous country, we wouldn't have had this great experience this week to share with one another. Winston?
Well, James, what has interested me about this, well, once I got over my initial outrage over it, and I really don't think I'm over my outrage, this is a disgusting and harrowing experience. We see the videos of this kind of thing happening over the Middle East. Well, folks, it's not over the Middle East anymore. It's right here in America's heartland. Oklahoma, for crying out loud. It would be less shocking if it was in some place like New York or San Francisco, Los Angeles, something like that. But this is in Oklahoma. How much more American can you get? And it's right there. Now, what's really galling me about this, other than the fact that two of our people, well, one has been heinously murdered, the other is in really bad shape. But what galls me about it is the reaction of Muslim supporters of all religions. Lots of people are out there saying, look, this is not Islam. Islam had nothing to do with that incident. I've seen the videos, and the ones that had closed captioning, I was disgusted by people coming to the defense of Islam in this, as if to say, you know, this was an isolated incident, even though we see it happening every day overseas. I selected one little article here by a limp-wristed waste of life named Steve Long, and he's in Edmond, Oklahoma, and he writes this. A woman today was beheaded at Vaughn Foods in Moore, Oklahoma. The suspect was allegedly a Muslim. Moments after the criminal act itself, the Islamophobes came out of the woodwork blaming Muslims and their religion of Islam for the heinous act, saying that he was trying to convert fellow employees at a job he was recently fired from to Islam. Islamophobes coming out of the woodwork? Look, folks, if anyone is phobic, it's Muslims. Muslims are afraid of women having rights. Muslims are afraid of Christians. Muslims are afraid of anyone who disagrees with them. Muslims are afraid of the West. Muslims are afraid of states forbidding their damnable Sharia law. Muslims are afraid of people learning what Islam is really about. Muslims are afraid of bacon, for crying out loud. Muslims are afraid of Muslims who convert to Christianity. When you get right down to it, Steve Long, Muslims are afraid of just about everything. Muslims are omniphobic. And the truth is, Steve Long, the perp is a Muslim, a black Muslim, and he was proselytizing for Islam. Continuing on, this guy says, Islam did not create this horrible crime and war. The Muslim community did not commit this terrible act. CARE, or the Council on American-Islamic Relations, had nothing to do with the beheading of this woman. It was a single act. It was the act of a single person whose extremist views, if this act was perpetrated by those views, do not reflect the majority of the Muslim community. Adam Soltani, executive director of the Council on American-Islamic Relations in Oklahoma, had this to say about the event. Quote, the entire Oklahoma Muslim community is saddened by the news of this tragic, heartbreaking crime that took place in Moore last week. The man is crazy, he's a criminal, and the report of his crime makes me sick to my stomach. The fact that he may or may not be Muslim does not seem to have relevance to the crime he committed. Islam condemns such inhumane actions, and so does the Oklahoma Muslim community. They do not, nor will they ever, represent our faith. Now, folks, I remind you that the Quran not only allows but encourages Muslims to deceive and to lie to non-Muslims if it will further the goals of spreading Islam. Lying in order to spread Islam is a virtue in Islam. Now, Mr. Long continues with a paragraph, and he asks some questions. And as I read these questions, I'm going to answer them. He says, the fact that people are blaming the entire community of Muslims because of one man's disturbing actions is foolish. Do they blame the Christian community every time a woman's clinic is bombed by extremist pro-lifers? I'll answer that. As a matter of fact, Mr. Long, Christians are blamed. He asks, do they blame the Christian community when the same extremist pro-lifers kill doctors? As a matter of fact, they do. Do they blame all teenagers when a depressed member of that demographic shoots up their school? Well, Mr. Long, I have an article right here that says the commission looking into the Sandy Hook shooting blames homeschooling and wants all homeschooling families in New Hampshire to be closely monitored. Long asks, do they blame the entire white community when a Caucasian goes nuts and goes on a shooting rampage? Well, yes, they do, and it doesn't have to go on a rampage. Have you been following, Mr. Long, the events in Ferguson, Missouri? Those blacks are blaming every white person in the city government. They're destroying
and
the city.
The white community at large across the country. I want to chime in on this, Winston, after the break. We got to come up on a commercial here now. You've hit something, a side aspect of the story that really needs to be explored. Stay tuned, everybody.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Winston Smith and James Edwards here. I'm James, he's Winston. But anyway, we're talking about the savage decapitation inflicted upon a woman in Oklahoma at the hands of a Muslim. And above and beyond, I mean, what can you say about the story? It's horrible. It shouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened if we had more sensible policies here. But Winston is now exploring a topic related to this that must be discussed, and that is the disgusting way in which the media spins this horrific act of violence. You know, not one common sense commentary saying that this is to be expected. You have people with different religions and different beliefs and cultures and all the differences in the world in the same living space, and there's going to be friction. And that diversity at best is tolerable, but at its worst, it's murderous. And that's the truth. But no, you don't see that. When a story like this happens, and it happens all the time, in which it's a minority perpetrator and a white victim, the way in which it's presented is, we can't let this cast a shadow on the greatness of this culture, of Islam, of Muslims. And when the exact opposite happens, and it is very, very rare, but when someone that can even loosely be construed as a conservative or a Christian engages in such an act, all Christians and all conservatives and all whites are to blame. It's the culture, it's the religion, it's the way of life, it's to blame. But when a Muslim, black Muslim, does something like this, you know, they don't even really, they almost sidestep the story altogether and just go into a mindless defense of Islam. And Winston's talking about it now, and I know, Winston, you're loaded for bear, and you got a lot to say on this topic, so I'm going to turn the floor over to you and let you run with it.
Thank you, James. By the way, James, Stephanie says hi.
Hello, Stephanie, and thank you for making Winston available to us tonight, again, as always.
He says you're welcome. All right, folks, I read that article by that useless one, Steve Long, where he does what is standard fare these days in a case like this. He is subtly shifting the focus from what this black Muslim terrorist did and to what white Christians are allegedly doing. It's been done in Ferguson, Missouri, where there is no focus on what Michael Brown did to bring about his demise. That's what these white haters do these days. They focus the media's attention on white behavior, usually the sort that doesn't exist and never materialize. It's shadow boxing, folks. It's fighting an opponent that can't fight back because it doesn't exist. Where is all the Muslim violence, the anti-Muslim violence in the U.S.? Where is it? And yet, the narrative will be that Muslims in the U.S. are fearing for their safety in the wake of this black Muslim terrorist attack on these two white women. And when you encounter it, folks, you tell the fool who's spouting that garbage that it wasn't a white Christian who cut off a black person's head. It isn't white people randomly punching unsuspecting blacks trying to render them unconscious. It isn't white people kidnapping black girls, raping them and torturing them and murdering them. No, it's blacks doing all that to whites. And in the case of the Moore, Oklahoma beheading, it was a black Muslim. White behavior does not figure into this at all. Those two women were totally innocent. They didn't know that black Muslim terrorists. They were just doing their jobs. They were working. And he horrifically murdered one of them and nearly killed the other. And if you so-called modern Muslims took the hand-wringing you deploy on saying how afraid you are of white Christians who have done nothing to Muslims, and if you use that energy to neutralize the violent elements in your community, then you wouldn't have to deal with those of you who go around lopping off the heads of innocent women in America's heartland. Muslims are screaming, that's not Islam, that's not Islam. They can scream all they want, but until they do something other than scream, then they're doing nothing about the problem, other than reinforcing the perception that a radical Muslim, cuts off your head while a moderate Muslim smiles about it. Now, is that Islam? We have no need to look further than their representative writings, the Quran. One place that it says this, and kill them wherever you find them, and turn them out from where they have turned you out. Disbelief is worse than killing, but if they desist, then lo, Allah is forgiving and merciful, and fight them until there is no more disbelief and worshiping, for Allah is one. Another place says, fighting is prescribed for you, and you dislike it, but it is possible that you dislike a thing which is good for you, and you love a thing which is bad for you. Another place, I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. Therefore, strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip of them. And there are hundreds of passages in the Quran that make a virtue of killing unbelievers. Here's one. Kill them, the unbeliever, wherever you find them, and drive them out from whence you drove them out. I already read that one. Well, besides that, folks, besides what's in the Quran, we have 1,500 years of history. They have been doing this sort of thing for 1,500 years. So we shouldn't be suspicious of all Muslims, eh? Well, you know, folks, there are a lot of hitchhikers out there, and I bet 99% of them wouldn't harm you if you gave them a ride. So why are we afraid to pick up hitchhikers? Are we being discriminatory against them? My gosh, the vast majority of hitchhikers are harmless, and they just want to ride. But are you going to pick one up? I'm not, because you never know when you're going to find that one who's going to kill you. Another thing, folks, this is being called workplace violence. You know, like the Fort Hood massacre is being called workplace violence. And the reason this is being called workplace violence is the same reason why the Fort Hood massacre is being called workplace violence, and that's so that Obama can say there were no acts of terrorism on American soil under his watch. There's going to be more beheadings in the U.S. at the hands of Muslims. I have a news story right here. Where is it? My internet's running slow tonight. Well, apparently this past week, oh, here it comes. Maybe not. I'm sorry, folks. Well, the story is this past week there was a Muslim in Ferguson, Missouri, who was arrested. He was wielding a sword, and he's claiming that there's going to be more of this. Let's see. There's a Muslim arrested in Ferguson, threatened to behead critics like Daniel Pearl. Agitator Umar Lee was arrested last night during the Ferguson protest. Lee, who is a Muslim radical, wrote the following to a critic in 2010. Quote, I could cut your neck with the sword of Islam and watch you squeal like, well, some bad words here. So this is coming. More of this is coming. Oh, my gosh, my computer is running so slow tonight. Sorry, folks, give me just a second.
It never ceases to occur in live radio, folks. If you need something to work, you know, very hard to go through 3 hours of live talk radio with no delay, without some sort of failure of some sort of component needed to make it go, despite our very best efforts. I'll blame it all on Winston this night, though. So I'm in the clear. You got it going, Winston? Go ahead, Winston.
Okay. Sorry about that, James. We have some heavy cloud cover tonight, and it makes things run slow.
Jeez. That's quite all right. Continue.
Okay. Well, what I want to know is we had this guy in Ferguson, Missouri, just this past week claiming that he's going to do it, more is coming. How many will it take before it's finally called what it is? It's terrorism. It's not workplace violence. It's just terrorism. How many will it take? Probably as many as it takes before we start calling young blacks that kill whites murderers instead of calling them teens. Now, that there was an Islamic component to this is undeniable. It is simply undeniable. So the people out there are saying, this is not Islam. They should just shut up and just start admitting the obvious. Nothing is going to be gained by ignoring the obvious. But there's also a racial component to it.
Well, but let's talk about that when we come back, and we'll let Winston continue this train of thought, and we'll wrap up this story and then have a hodgepodge for you in the third hour.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory Authorized Mountain House Sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, so we're going to wrap up our coverage of this decapitation that took place in Oklahoma just on Thursday of this week. And then in the third hour, we are really and truly going to engage in a rapid-fire hour of talk radio in which we cover a wide variety of topics and stories not related to one another other than the fact that they'll be talked about tonight on the political cesspool. A lot of times when I say we're going to do a rapid-fire hour and cover a lot of stories. We end up covering like two or three, but we're really going to try to do it tonight and try to work in the better part of a half a dozen stories, if not more, depending on how quickly we can sort through them without doing them a disservice. I mean, we certainly don't want to just read a headline and then move on. We want to explore it a little bit. But that's coming up, so we'll try to have something for everyone in the third hour. Winston, during that last commercial break, and I believe this was something you were building towards anyway, as we continue to exercise our freedom of speech here on the Political Cesspool, a God-given right, but one of our regular listeners up in Nashville said that you were doing a great job, good for you. Don't forget to mention the racial animus in this attack. It wasn't just a Muslim attack on a Christian. It was a black-on-white attack. I think we have focused a lot on the Muslim aspect of it because you don't see Muslim beheadings as often in America, yet, at least, as you do. I mean, black-on-white murders are a dime a dozen. They happen every day. They happen so much, as I mentioned last week, you just, to a sad extent, become numb to them. They're just so common, it's hard to get a rise out of any black-on-white savagery. But this one included both components, a racial component and a religious component. And I know you were going to make mention of that, Winston.
Yes, I was. It's undeniable. James, we can't call it what it is. We can't call it a black Muslim terrorist attack. Can we at least call it a black-on-white crime? I mean, that's being ignored in the media. I've looked. That isn't even being broached. So it's not. Not only is it not a Muslim crime, neither is it a black on white crime. Hell, they might as well say things didn't even happen. You know, it's called folks.
Yeah, let me say this, Winston. We just got another email, by the way, from a listener in Knoxville. He writes, "Listening in tonight, great to hear Lieutenant Dulias is still alive and kicking." He mentions though that there was a recent Muslim convert beheading in London as well, and the authorities over there are insisting that it is also not terrorist related. Now, this is the same governmental agencies and ruling elite of our regime that insist, as I mentioned before, that if you have a Ron Paul bumper sticker, if you have a abolish the Fed bumper sticker, you know, police are trained to take a close look at you because you fit the profile for a domestic terrorist. But when you have, you know, beheadings, for God's sake, the first thing they do is dismiss it, and then their lackeys in the media make sure you don't think ill will towards people of that religion. And not that you should think ill of anyone for anything. I mean, but I do think you should have a separation, and they can do that all they want in their own countries. I don't want this kind of multiculturalism in America. I don't think it's good. I don't think it's good for us. But as it happened in Oklahoma, Winston, similar instance in London, also this week, also not terrorist related. I'll let you take it from there.
Okay. Not only do they take pains to make sure that we don't think ill of the offending religion, they go to equal lengths to make sure that that the innocent are the ones of whom we should be suspicious. The narrative is being shifted away from this guy and onto how it's wrong to think bad. It's wrong for white Christians to think badly of this guy. So,
well,
and there's a danger for thinking badly of this guy.
Yeah, that's the real danger.
We're the bad guys for thinking how bad he is.
And that's true. And the media shows more empathy for Muslims than the victim here. And, you know, there's been more media coverage when you get into editorials rather than a who, what, where, when, why semi-fact-based story. When you get into editorializing, there has been more ink, a lot more ink, invested in the defense of Muslims than in the defense or the empathy for the families whose lives will forever be shattered because of this. And of course, yes, I mean, come on. We know that there are law-abiding Muslims that go along to get along and they don't cause anyone trouble. But again, is it a net gain or a net drag on a Christian country or a formerly Christian country? The United States of America is having this culture here. Is it a plus or a minus across the board? And you just got to say it's a minus.
James, one thing, sort of an off-topic thing, but I want to know. But you know, when the media covered in depth the funeral of Trayvon Martin, the media made much of the funeral of Michael Brown. I wonder if they'll even mention the funeral of Colleen Hufford. Is anybody even going to remember her name?
No, Winston, that's a great point. Let me say this. That's a great point. Imagine, if you can, folks, fantasize with me here, if a white Christian man went in and beheaded a black woman of a different religion because she didn't convert, do you think that might make wall-to-wall coverage? Do you think the entire faith of Christianity and the entire race of European mankind would be put on trial for that? Obviously, the answer is yes.
Oh, my gosh, James, if the races were reversed in this, Obama would be on TV claiming, if I'd had a black mother, she would have looked like the victim.
I laugh. I mean, it's a horrible story. You what do? Laugh to keep from crying, I guess. You should never laugh. And I mean, but you're right.
Well, James, melding of black savagery and Islam, it goes back a long way. Back in 1893, the head of Presbyterian missions to Africa, his name was Frederick Perry Noble, he wrote a book in a couple of volumes called The Redemption of Africa. And in volume one, here's what he says about the melding of blacks and Islam. On page 44, he says, all of Islam's violent characteristics are African. On page 52, he says, Wahhabism, which is another sect of Islam, might almost be called an African product. On page 61, he says, Islam is said to have entered Africa in 1638, half dead, but it would find enough willing flesh of the dark continent to mount a 200,000-man offensive against Europe in 732. On page 62, he writes, Sudanese Islam, that's black Islam, is more brutal and covetous than any other. And on page 67, he writes, at Mecca, the most zealous pilgrims, those subject to the most frequent fits of religious frenzy, are the blacks. And on page 71, he says this, the sterility and unprogressiveness of black civilizations, black states, are as much due to the paralyzing grip of Islam as to nature's foreclosure of his intellectual powers when she mortgages the growth of his brain after puberty. That's funny. Yeah, sort of. All right. Well, folks, look, brace yourself. Brace yourself for more of being blamed, more suspicion and aspersion being cast on you because you think badly of this black Muslim terrorist who murdered one of our people and nearly killed another. You see, you're not supposed to think bad of him. You're supposed to think bad of yourself for thinking bad of him. And again, be prepared for more of this type of violence. It is coming. As James pointed out, a couple of weeks ago in London, a recent convert to Islam cut off a woman's head while she was in her garden, for crying out loud. Last week, Australian police foiled a plot of ISIS members to go around Sydney lopping off people's heads. You can see it on TV, and you can see it happening over in the Middle East. Don't numb yourself into thinking, well, that's over there. It's right here. This past week proved it. And for crying out loud, don't let anybody blame you for it. Don't let anybody blame you for having ill feelings toward a religion that deserves to be thought ill of. If any religion deserves suspicion, if it deserves a second, third, and fourth look, it's Islam. We have 1,500 years of seeing what they do. And again, their Quran makes a virtue out of lying to you. If they can convince you that that's not them, so much the better. You'll drop your guard, and they'll drop your head. James?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about how weak, you know, again, I have even no ill will even for these people. I just don't want to be forced to live around people with whom I'm uncomfortable. But at the end of the day, the blame for all of this can and ought to be laid at the feet of a ground down biomass of a people that whites have become. I mean, where are, you know, you can't even find people, save this radio program and a handful of others in this country today, willing to even speak out about the problem, much less do something sensibly about it, like repatriate these folks to their countries of origin. I'd pay for them to go. You know, if you gave them all $100,000 and a plane ticket to leave, it would be far less costly than what it costs to maintain their standard of living in terms of welfare and subsidies and all of that. I would do that. That's not hatred. Go and be well. We'll be back.